Good morning. Anyone who doesn't know me, my name is Amy. Hello. And I'm part of the church here at Unity. And very occasionally, in foolishness, probably, Dave allows me to come up and do the teaching, which is marvellous fun for me. Before we start, I'm going to pray, and then we'll get into the stuff. So, oh, Heavenly Father, thank you. You are so good. And this morning, Lord, it's all about you. All about you. All about your glory. It's all about you, Lord Jesus. We're here because of you. And I ask now that it will be your words and your thoughts that come across. That at the end of today, Lord, anything that's just me will be forgotten and lost. But everything that's of you, Holy Spirit, that you will take your words and you will bless. Lord, we pray for open hearts, open minds, open lives. We pray for blessing this morning. Amen. I apologise in advance. I'm going to be shoving my glasses on and off. I'm at that age now where I can see you perfectly, but I cannot read my notes. But I haven't got them on a toggle yet. I haven't quite got that far. Forgive me if I fuff with them a bit. We've been going through a series here at Unity, looking at Galatians, and it's up behind us. One Gospel, One Family. And we've been going through the whole book, learning how Paul was talking in a letter to the Christians who lived in a place called Galatia. And he was talking all about various things, all about the law, all about living, and things that they were dealing with at the time. And we've got up now to chapter 5. So just while I'm introducing, if you have your Bibles, if you find Galatians, we're in chapter 5. It's New Testament, after the Gospels, Romans, Corinthians, then you're hitting to Galatians. And up until now, Paul has been talking about various issues they've been going through. He's been talking about the law. I am not going to go into that this morning. If you've missed any of the teaching, I highly recommend you look on the website. On the 2nd of July, Dave taught on the law, and it was superb. So have a little listen to that if you want to catch up. But then last week, Dave was talking about freedom and the fact that we've been set free to love in freedom. And then I'm carrying on that chapter this week. And I'm saying that now because as it goes on, I'll get my toggle. This starts with but. And anything that starts with but is obviously because we're halfway through his thinking process. And Dave started that last week. And he ended up by teaching us that we are in freedom. We have freedom. And then Paul is carrying on. And he says from verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the sinful nature. For the desires of the sinful nature are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the sinful nature. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the sinful nature are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I love that at the end there. This isn't the definitive list. He's going, and so on. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But there's a lot of buts in this bit, isn't there? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Just move this out of the way. A while ago, while I was still a school teacher, I used to teach in a primary school. And if any of you know teachers, you know that they have ridiculously long hours. And I was working late one night. I was still in my classroom. It was about 8 o'clock at night because the building is just left open for ages. And there are a few other strange people like me there working late. But I was there because I had to do some paperwork. And it was one of these things that you just have to do. There was a deadline on it. It was very, very boring. It was very time intensive. And I was slogging through it. And I was uploading all kinds of information onto a server. That's what I was called to do. However, oh, hang on. I forgot to leave the last bit. I'm jumping ahead of myself. What am I doing? Last bit of the Bible first before I finish the story. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires, which is what I'm about to talk about. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying one another. My apologies, I'm looking at the wrong slide. So, now my story is going to make more sense. In school, working late, very tired, very, very grumpy, very stressed, on my sixth or seventh cup of tea, finishing off a packet of biscuits, uploading this information onto the data, all this data onto the server. Just getting to the end of it, and the blooming thing, it just went black. The screen went blank. I mean, are you kidding me? Are you? And I'm ashamed to say I didn't just use that language. Now, I was well aware that a dear friend, he's still a dear friend, thank goodness, but a dear friend who was a colleague at the time, who was the IT guy, was in the main building. My little classroom was set away over in the playground. So I was like this. Ah! I saw red. What the? I stomped out of my classroom. I stomped across the playground. I made my way into where his main hubby thing were, and all these leads and things were all over the place. And I let rip. I didn't pause to think. I really did use language I am not proud of. And I just told this poor guy exactly what I thought of what had just happened. And he was just like this. And there was a younger kid who was helping him out at the time. I hadn't even noticed him there at first. And this kid was like this. And I finished my say, still raging, turned on my heel, flounced back out, halfway across the playground. And I just thought, oh, why did I do that? Why did I just do that? I belong to Jesus. The whole school know that I belong to Jesus. And I'm trying. I felt like I've just undone years of good work. Years of trying to be Jesus. This colleague of mine, he's not a Christian. Or he wasn't at the time. I thought, what have I done? Why did I do that? And quite often, a lot of us, we think we get times like that, or we meet other Christians who behave in a way that we think, why are you doing that? That's not what Christ calls us to do. What's going on? And Paul covers that in this passage here. If I belong to Jesus, why did that happen? Why did I let that happen? Why am I not perfect? I have the Holy Spirit in me. What's going on? And in verse 17, he says, the desires of the sinful nature are against the Spirit. And these are opposed to each other, the sinful nature and the Holy Spirit. They're in opposition. And in other translations, it says, they are in conflict. They are fighting. Peter talks about it in one of his letters, and he says, they are at war. That there is a war going on within us. And if you want to go into this in more depth, read Romans 7 and Romans 8. I'm not going into all of that now. But there's this tension, there's this war going on. So why? What's happening? Let's go right back to the beginning, in Genesis. When God made the world, the physical world that we live in, and he said it was very good. And the first humans were placed in a garden, and it was beautiful. And it says that beautiful trees, God planted and grew beautiful trees all through the garden, and that they were gorgeous to look at, and they produced wonderful food for eating. And at the very centre of the garden, in the absolute middle, were two very special trees. One was the tree of life, and the other was the tree which gave knowledge about good and evil. And God said, this one tree that gives the knowledge of good and evil, he said to the first humans, don't eat from that tree. You can eat from everything else, but don't eat from that tree. If you do, you're going to die. It raises so many questions. Why did God put the tree there in the first place then? I think it's because every day it then gave those first two human beings a choice. Because it was right in the centre, right in their attention. Every day they had a choice. Am I going to trust God and obey him and know that he is good and know that he knows what's best for me? And therefore, I don't need to know everything, but I do know what I need to know and I will trust him. Or not. And those of us that know the story, we know that eventually they chose not to. They decided they wanted to know better. They needed to know better. That they weren't going to trust what God said and they were going to eat of that fruit. And as a consequence, the relationship with God got broken. Evil and death came in at that point. And the world was fractured. In all ways, our relationship with God was broken. The way we relate to each other became fractured and broken. Because rather than relating to each other out of absolute love, we've now got that selfishness within us. We relate out of my agenda, not out of yours, not out of God's. And the very ground was cursed. In Genesis 3, it tells us that the ground was cursed and thorns and weeds came up. And we have the evidence around us now that this of the truth of this. We know in our very characters, no one had to teach me to be selfish. Nobody had to show me how to be jealous. These things are in me. They're naturally in me. No one has to tell me, Amy, I'm going to make you want more. We live in a right now in our society, we know that because of the digital and everything else, the media, it feeds that desire for more and more and more. And it's easy for us to blame it on the internet and say, oh, well, people weren't selfish in the old days, or they didn't always want more in the old days. Look at the wars. Look at history. Look at the desire for power. Nothing's changed. It just has a different face. Maybe it's being fed in a different way. But that has always been there. It's in our sinful nature. We've inherited it. When Jesus came, Jesus was all God and all man. His spiritual DNA was holiness. He didn't have that sinful nature. He was holy. There was no sin in him. So when he was nailed to yet another tree, with those thorns, that crown of thorns shoved on his head, symbolizing that curse from the very beginning, he took that curse and that punishment into himself, and he undid death itself. He switched that around. And those of us who believe, those of us who belong to Jesus, who say yes, oh my goodness, we've been praying, we've been singing this morning. Those words of worship were spot on, all about Jesus, all about the cross, all about what he's done for us. That he's taken that curse. And he said, I can make things new. That when we believe, we are given the Holy Spirit within us. And we are given new life within because of Jesus. And this is so important because Jesus didn't just clean up our sinful nature. He didn't just clean us up. But it tells us in the Bible that he's turned us, he's made us something completely different. We are totally different. That when the Holy Spirit came into us, it created a different kind of human being. I don't know if you realize this, but if you belong to Jesus, you are not the same as the other humans around you who don't yet know Jesus. You are something different. The Bible uses the phrase a new creation, but we are so utterly different because of the Holy Spirit within us. It's not just old me with the Holy Spirit added on. On the outside, our bodies are still mortal. We will age and we will die because we still live in a world that is broken and waiting for Jesus to come back to finish off that final book and redeem everything. But inside, we carry the power of God. And it's so important that we grasp this truth. I'm repeating myself now, but we are different. We live in the world, but we do not belong to this world. We are visitors here now. We belong to the kingdom of heaven because of the Holy Spirit within us. But we need to remember that we are children. Because you're saying, well, okay, all of that seems to contradict what I've said at the very beginning. If I'm a brand new, completely transformed human being, I carry the power of the Holy Spirit within me, why then sometimes do those things go wrong? Why do we sin? Why do we make mistakes? Because we're carrying this tension now. Because within us, we have the Holy Spirit. We are, the big word is sanctified. It means that we are made different. We belong to Jesus. We are saved. We are forgiven. That life gift within us was instant the minute we said, Jesus, I belong to you. But like children, we are also designed to grow. And we become more like Jesus as we grow to know him. That we become more holy as we get to know him better, as we walk with him, as we grow into his shoes. You don't instantly become like Jesus overnight. That's a process that takes the rest of our lives. But I want to encourage us. One, that where it said in verse 21, the list of all those aspects of the sinful nature, all those things that we see in the world that come as a part of the sin and the bad and the blah, blah, blah. All those things that Paul listed. And it says, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But in the Greek, that phrase, who live like this, when Paul was writing in Greek at the time, that phrase means ongoing, an ongoing lifestyle. It's not if you do this one time, sorry, one strike, you're out. Sorry, got impatient with your kids, out. Got fed up with something, out. Amy shouted at your colleague, out. No. It means ongoing. It's if you live like this. It is not about when we slip up occasionally. In fact, when we do slip up, when we do fail, when we do make those mistakes, the fact that in our hearts we're just so gutted by that. We're like, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. The fact that it hurts us, the fact that we're upset by that is a real positive thing because it shows that within us, the Holy Spirit has given us that desire to be holy. That our old lifestyles become repulsive to us. We don't actually want that anymore. We don't want to be like that anymore. We say, Lord, change me. Help me grow. And that's so positive. This is a kind of an idea, this picture. Of that kind of, we see this a lot, to sort of, people use it to describe the tension that we carry. Oh, and people make jokes, and it's the thing about, oh, you know, the angel on one side and the devil on the other, and oh, I'm being pulled between the two. But this is a complete and utter lie. This is not true. I'd be cross through it. It is not true. Because although we have still the echoes of the old sinful nature, we have those things that tempt us, those things that pull us away. Sometimes it's just old memories and things. Sometimes it's the world tempting us. But this is not an equal fight. There is not. When you know, like, if I assume everyone in this room by now has been exposed to Star Wars and similar. Or one person saying no, good on ya. And other things, the whole battle between light and dark, or the battle between good and bad, and it's always portrayed as like an equal battle. You know, ooh, sometimes the good will just get an edge and win a little bit, and then sometimes the bad will, oh no, the baddies have won today, but the goodies will win again tomorrow. But it's like this tug of war, good and bad, light and dark, as if there's an equal fight. What a load of pants. Absolute rubbish. Because God is so much bigger than that. So much greater. The darkness, nothing. Nothing to God. I'd like you to trust me. You don't have to close your eyes, but I just want you to use your imagination. And if closing your eyes helps, then do it. But I want you to imagine a giant. Yeah, got a giant in your mind. Now in your imagination, make that giant bigger. See that giant grow. Now make it bigger again. It's not big enough yet. And again, make it bigger. You are going to have to pull your imagination back so far that this giant is so huge that you're almost in space and seeing the giant like standing out on the globe. It's got to get to that size. Right, is your giant that massive now in your imagination? Right by the giant's foot, I want you to imagine an ant. God's power versus the ant of evil, the ant that Satan is. And even then, we have still not grasped how great God is. Even in that picture, that doesn't really do God justice. His immensity, his power, his glory, and how much he has defeated Satan, and how little power evil has in reality over us as Christians. In verse 16, it says, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the sinful nature. It means you will not give in to the sinful nature. It means you will be given that power. Verse 24 told us, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. When we belong to Jesus, all of that old rubbish, all of that sin in us, all of that stuff, that got pinned on the cross with Jesus. It was killed, put to death. Will not. It means we have authority. It means those things that really keep us back and hold us down, those habits, those recurring sins, those weaknesses, those times when we give in, they do not define us and they cannot control us. That we have the authority to say, back off, you're dead, and I will not allow this. Not I in my power, but through the Holy Spirit. Jesus will not allow this to continue. We're given a promise in 1 Corinthians. We're told that God is faithful and he will not let you, me, us, be tempted beyond what we can bear. But when we are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that we can endure it. There is always a loophole, always. There's always an escape hatch. The thing is that we have to ask for it sometimes. It's there, but we have to look for it. We have to ask for it. And we have to want to take it. when I lost my rag big time with my dear friend Andy at school, there was a loophole, but I let the rage take over. I didn't pause. I didn't take a breath and say, Jesus, I don't think I could have said more than that at that point. I would have just been like, Jesus, what? But in that moment, the Holy Spirit would have given me wisdom how to deal with that issue properly. But I didn't. I didn't ask for the loophole. I didn't ask for that escape hatch. And therefore, I gave in to my anger. Now, anger isn't always a bad thing. That's another preach. But how we deal with our anger, the way I dealt with it that day, was not glorifying to God. Now, sometimes with these things, the victory comes quickly. Sometimes it's a long battle. I am not underestimating or making light of the things that you are carrying in your life, or the things that I am carrying in my life. Some things are hard, and we acknowledge that. Addictions, they're an ongoing battle, and we know it. And it's unlikely that you can click your finger and that will be gone. Sometimes God is so gracious and does that for us, but not always. It's a long battle. And when we take our eyes off Jesus, those pulls get stronger, and sometimes that's when we fall. But God's grace is so amazing. This is the point. It doesn't stop that power being within us. It doesn't stop this being true, that we have the power in Him to say, no more. God's grace. Dave talked about grace last week. I haven't got time to go into it all now. But if you doubt that God will forgive you again, if this is something that you're going, not again, not again, I can't come and say sorry to God again. God promises that He chooses to forget. Every time we say, oh Lord, forgive me, make me new, He does. And He chooses to forget that thing. And if you doubt that, if you struggle with that, afterwards, come and take a picture of this slide and then meditate on these verses, because all of these are promises that God will forget our sin when we come to Him to be forgiven. It was all done on the cross. We are free because of His love and His grace and His mercy. Remember that we are children and we are in the process of growth. And then this passage, it then goes on to say, well, okay, it's talked about what it looks like in the world. It tells us what evil looks like. It tells us that we can stand strong. But then it goes on to talk about when He says the fruit of the Spirit. This is the character of Jesus in us. And this comes gradually. It's a process of growth. And it's interesting because I was thinking, why fruit? Before that, though, I'm going to read them again. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And in brackets there it says humility, because gentleness and humility, depending on which translation you read, they hold hands. This is gentleness, humility together. And self-control. These are the character of Jesus that grow in us as we grow in Him. But why did Paul call them fruit? I mean, these are aspects of personality. Fruit is just a description. Why fruit? He could have described them in any way at all, but he chose fruit. And I think there's two really good reasons why he calls these aspects, these character traits that God is growing in us, fruit. One, I've used the word many times, growing. Fruit is not instant. You don't plant an apple tree and then get your apples the next day. It takes time. Your vineyard. If you plant a vineyard, I'm not that up on it, but I know it takes years before you can harvest the first grapes. I mean, you've got to be really patient and do a lot of care. And also, with fruit, it takes a lot of work. You don't just get fruit. You have to care and you have to work to get that fruit. Now, this is our beautiful Unity Garden. Just, I took a picture yesterday in that little gap when it wasn't raining. And if you talk to Kev or Bridge or any of the others that work in that garden, they will tell you that a real garden takes work. If you want to get a harvest, you have patience and time. Now, I took a picture of these courgettes. These are two little courgettes that are there. Now, the Saturday before, don't you see they're the... courgettes are quite tricky to point out, but they're the bigger... I don't know how the pointer bit works now. Is it the missed one in the middle? Oh, no.
The middle.
Oh, the middle. I'm going to stand here. See this? That's a courgette. That's a stalk. That's a courgette. That's a courgette. Fruit. And the Saturday before last, on the Saturday morning, some of the kids were here and they'd never seen a courgette growing in a plant before. So we went and we found them and I showed them how to harvest them and how to pick them. And it was great. And then they went charging back. Look what I've got. Look what I picked. I've got the courgettes. But in order to get this harvest, we have to work at the garden. Kev knows. He has to work very hard there. If he neglected the garden, maybe you'd get the odd courgette here or there, but not many, because they would be overgrown with weeds. The slugs would be having a field day. You'd be lucky to get any not chewed. All the other little animals, they'd be getting it first. But gardens, they need to be protected. You have to weed them. You have to pull out the thorns. You have to pull out the weeds. You have to nurture them. You have to water them. You have to put compost on, feed them, prune them. But Kevin doesn't actually grow the veg. The veg grows. The fruit grows. Because of the DNA in the seed. Because of the warmth of the sun. Because of photosynthesis and other sciencey things that I don't really understand. Kev makes the environment where the fruit can grow. He provides the best environment. He can hinder it or he can help it by how he produces the environment. But he can't grow it. That happens through God's life-giving in the seed. And it's the same for us. The fruit of the Spirit grows in us. We can't make it grow. We cannot make ourselves holy. I cannot make me love you. I cannot make me more giving or kinder. I can't do it. I might manage for a small while, you know, through being my act of will to be a bit kinder, do a kind thing every day and all that jazz. But it doesn't stop me actually also being selfish. Or also thinking about myself, having my own agendas first. Only God can grow this fruit, these aspects of himself in us. But we can provide an environment in our lives where that process happens better and quicker. And we say, well, how? It was in the verses that we were given straight away. Keep in step with the Spirit. I've put this same verse twice because the different version, I love the way it's said. The one we read first of all said, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. But the another translation, the Good News, said, the Spirit has given us life. He must also control our lives. That when we submit to the Holy Spirit, that's when the fruit grows. You say, yeah, well, all right then, but what does that mean? What are you talking about? How do I live by the Spirit? What does it look like to walk with the Spirit? Okay, you're saying I can't grow this stuff in me. I can't make myself loving, joyful, patient, kind. Only God can. All right, so how do I help the process? What do I do? We learn to be the gardeners of our own lives. Just like in a real garden, we can garden our own lives. Because every day we have a choice. We can choose, just like the first humans in the original garden had a choice every day to trust God and obey him or not. We have that choice every single day ourselves. We still have that freedom and that choice. We can wake up in the morning and say, Lord, this day is yours. I choose to submit to you. Whatever my plans are today, whatever my agendas, you first, Lord. Or not. We can just wake up and get on with our day. But we can nurture the garden of our lives. By keeping God's word in our heart, by keeping Jesus in the forefront of our minds, however that works for us, by listening to the Bible or reading it. I like to listen. I put it on my headphones and I listen a lot. If there's anything that helps keep Jesus in the front of our minds, we pray. Maybe listening to a certain kind of worship music. Different times in the day. I have an alarm on my phone now that goes off at 1 o'clock every day, which is just to remind me to pause for 5 minutes, whatever I'm doing, and remember again, remind myself who I am in Christ. Just to stop and go, actually, Lord, what am I doing right now? Put the shopping down. I'm yours. I'm in your presence. Okay, let's step out in your power. We protect the gardens of our lives. We kill the weeds. Life's weeds are very subtle and sneaky. We don't always notice at first that there are things that are taking our attention away from Jesus. It's not the obvious stuff, but if there's anything that's taking my attention away from him, if there's anything that is sucking my time that I should be giving to him, get rid of it. Dig it out. Throw it away. Whatever it is. I don't know what that is in your life, but you will. Let's not muck about. The weed will do us damage. Get rid of it. And we can protect our lives from the predators. Kev protects his courgettes from the slugs, or tries to. I try to. I don't succeed very well in my garden. We can protect ourselves from the predators, from those temptations. We know what tempts us. I've got an issue at the moment with self-control. And it sounds silly. But whenever Johan works late, and he has crazy hours, so sometimes he's not home until 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning. And occasionally with his God Squad stuff, he's away at nights. If he's not home, I don't go to bed. Don't ask me why, I just can't do it. So I put the telly on and I watch absolute rubbish. And I channel hop and it gets to like midnight. I mean, I like my bed. I'm normally asleep by 9:30. So by about 11, I'm feeling a bit groggy. By midnight, I'm feeling ill and I'm still channel hopping, watching rubbish. I don't have the self-control to say, don't do this. Do what's good for you. Go to bed. Now, this sounds like something really silly. Well, big deal. But actually, the knock-on effects are serious. Because if I go to bed late, I don't look at my Bible before I go to fall asleep. I'm too tired. I don't pray. When I eventually hit the pillow, I'm asleep. In the morning, I wake up, I'm groggy and I'm grumpy because I haven't had enough sleep. That affects how I then operate in the next day. It has a knock-on effect. And if I'm not dealing with that area of self-control, what other areas am I going to give in to that maybe are going to be more serious because I've not learned that discipline? So Jan's going to be away soon. So I know that this is a predator. This is something has to be dealt with. So I've already been joking with him. I've said, hide the control. If I don't want to put the telly on in the first place because I know that's my weakness when he's away. I don't watch the TV when he's here. So I'm saying, unplug it. Take the control away. Hide it. Something to help me. We take steps. But on top of everything else, we remember who we belong to. We remember who we have in our life. We remember that Jesus is in control, that Jesus is in charge, that through him, living through him, living through the Holy Spirit, that's where we have our power and that's where we will change. And that's where we will glorify him. Because it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about him. I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that it's all about you. Father, I pray this morning that you will speak through this, that there will be no condemnation. Thank you that you love us freely. Thank you that you forgive us freely. Thank you that we are seen by you as perfect and that you grow us into that perfection. Father, I pray blessing on every person in this room, that we would step out in you in power this day, knowing that we have you on our side. Nothing can touch us because of you. We glorify you and we praise you and we surrender to you and we submit to you. Amen.